Good morning, everyone, and welcome to those joining us online. There's certainly a lot that we can pray for our global workers, and let's keep them in mind this morning. This morning, we continue in our series entitled Jesus Asking. It is noted that Jesus is actually identified as the great questioner because as we look into the Gospels, we find that he asked approximately 307 questions. That's a lot of questions. And today we are going to consider one of those questions this morning and why Jesus asked it. One summer night during a severe thunderstorm, a little boy was being put to bed by his mother. And as she was about to turn the lights off, the little boy said in a trembling voice, "Mom, will you stay in the room with me all night tonight?" Mom smiled and went and gave him a hug and a reassuring confidence to say, and tenderly said, "I'm sorry, my dear, but tonight I do need to stay in Daddy's room." There was a long pause, and finally the silence was broken when the little guy said in a trembling voice, "That's a big sissy." Afraid of the thunderstorm, the little boy asked his mother a reasonable question. This morning we are going to look at a group of grown men who were in the middle of a storm, and they were asked a question of Jesus. The question was, "Why are you so afraid?" Turn in your Bibles with me or watch on the screens as the scripture will be there. We're looking at Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 23 to 27. To help us to have to put this account into context, let me just remind you that Jesus has been busy all day teaching what we know as his famous Sermon on the Mount. There's a large crowd that has assembled, and they've gathered around him at the Sea of Galilee. Gospel writers Mark and Luke provide to us some additional information because they parallel this text, and they provide to us some interesting thoughts and perspectives that we will draw on this morning to just give us a fuller understanding of the incident. And so we will pull from Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8 to gain a fuller understanding of this incident. So let's read then from Mark's account, chapter 8, beginning at verse 23. "Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are going to drown.' He replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?' Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" The Sea of Galilee served as a pivotal location for Jesus' ministry. In Mark's gospel, we learn that such a large crowd began to assemble around Jesus that he got into a boat, sat in it on the lake, while the crowd comfortably gathered on the side of the hillside or stood at the shore on the water's edge. Can you picture the scene? Can you see the young children running around having fun, while the parents sat and listened intently to Jesus' teaching? After a demanding day, it was natural that Jesus needed a break to get away, to have some time, downtime. All of us enjoy having a break, relaxing after we've put in a full day's worth of work. Jesus was no different, and Mark chapter 4 tells us that when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, the disciples took Jesus, just as he was, in the boat and began to cross the lake. As Jesus sat in the stern of the boat, taking in the fresh air and feeling the motion of the boat, we see him get comfortable, and he actually grabs a cushion that was lying beside him and drifts off to sleep. This vignette provides to us a glimpse into Jesus, the God-man, and his true humanity, his need for sleep. This is the only instance in Scripture where we actually see Jesus sleep. While the crew were enjoying a leisurely evening on the water, Matthew tells us that without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake. The Sea of Galilee is relatively small. It is 13 miles long and 8 miles wide, but it is 700 feet below sea level. Due to its low-lying position surrounded by hills and mountains, the Sea of Galilee is prone to sudden weather changes. Storms rapidly form when cool air coming down from the hills and the mountains funnel into the deep ravines and warm the shore air that is rising off the lake. For you weather buffs, what happens when cold air meets warm air? Storms develop, and that's what happened on this evening. The waves generated by the fierce winds were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was filling with water. Unlike today with our high-tech communication tools, in this context, the captain didn't have a ship-to-shore radio or his cell phone to call for help. No, this open sailboat and its crew were in danger of going down in the middle of the lake. It was a beautiful, sunny, hot, and humid day in the summer of 1981. I was in a 12-foot aluminum boat, enjoying the breeze cooling my face as we sped along the pristine waters of Calabogie Lake. There were 5 of us in the boat, 3 adults and 2 children. As we were cruising along out of nowhere, the wind suddenly changed dramatically and a dark, ominous cloud came over our head and began to pelt down cold, hard rain on the 5 of us. In split seconds, the delightful boat ride turned to be a terrifying experience. I did my best not to react so not to alarm the kids, but as you can expect, they were already screaming and crying. A parent offered words of assurance, but it wasn't helping to settle them down. I admit that I didn't say a word at that time because I was too busy praying for myself at that point, praying for my safety, for the safety of all of us, that God somehow would get us out of the serious situation that we were in. There were few words exchanged amongst us adults because just to look at our body language, we knew we were all scared. Thankfully, the skipper got us over to the side of the shore and we arrived safely. Each one of us in that boat that day reacted in different ways to the circumstances that confronted us. When put into pressure situations, it's unpredictable how any of us will react or respond. In our narrative, we see 2 responses from the ship's crew that appear to occur simultaneously. In the middle of the squall, we first see the disciples move into a state of panic. As seasoned sailors, they understood better than anyone the threat that they were in. While not detailed for us, no doubt they did everything possible to try and maneuver the boat and secure it in an attempt to ride out or weather the storm. Can you hear them yelling? Probably Peter for sure saying, "Adjust the sails, grab the oars, try to bail out the water." To panic, to be afraid, was and is a realistic and reasonable response in such circumstances. The disciples were in a dire situation. They had no control over the severe weather and its effect on the boat. Amid the chaos and the commotion, where was Jesus? Scripture tells us that he was tucked, continuing to rest peacefully in the stern of the vessel. What was the second response of the crew? Soaking wet, frightened and frantic, they turned to the Lord, woke him up from his deep sleep and informed him of their plight. "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned? Lord, save us. We are going to drown." Once again, a reasonable response. Jesus immediately replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and the lake turned completely calm. With pointed words and an unusual question, considering the circumstances, Jesus called attention to the lack of faith his disciples were revealing during the pressure point in their lives. Might Jesus ask us a similar question when we find ourselves in our storm? There is no denying that life is not smooth sailing. Each one of us experience different types of storms at different stages of our lives to varying degrees of intensity. These storms may take forms of family struggles, physical illness, perhaps financial struggles, all challenges that bring pressure into our lives. And let's not forget a pandemic with all of its ramifications. Some believers in Christ hold to the position that nothing bad should ever happen to them because they serve God. They are in His will. There are other believers who hold to the position that storms come into their lives when they have disobeyed God. But this is not always the case. You may recall that earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus declared that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Storms come to all of us. Consider Jonah. He ended up in a storm because he disobeyed. But in this incident, the disciples ended up in a storm because of their obedience. Remember, it was Jesus' directive that they go to the other side of the lake. They were in the will of God, and yet Jesus permitted a storm in their lives. We can be in the will of God and still experience storms. Why? God permits these storms to test us. When you and I were in school, I'm sure at any level, the teacher would give you a test and give us a test. Sometimes there were pop quizzes or those midterms or the dreaded final exams. These tests were designed to see if we had learned what the teacher had taught in preparation for where we were headed to the next grade level. To move from one grade to the next, obviously, the passing of tests was necessary. I don't know of any student who enjoys taking tests, but we understand that it is part of the required curriculum. Part of God's curriculum for our life is that we pass the tests that He allows in our lives. Of course, a good teacher will only test us on what information we have been taught and what we should know and what we should utilize, not on information that we don't know. Throughout Jesus' short years with his disciples, he taught them daily valuable lessons. These men had a front row seat to see Jesus performed miracles and healings, to see his authority and the power that was resident in him. Now the moment of testing came to ensure that the disciples had truly heard and applied his teaching to their everyday lives. It is interesting to note that Jesus wasn't upset that the disciples had woke him up from his peaceful sleep. Rather, he rebuked them for their lack of faith in him, revealed by their fear. When the stormy winds blow, when God permits tests in our lives, what do we reveal about our relationship with him? Have we learned the lessons that he's been teaching us from his word and applied them actively into our lives? Do we exhibit fear or do we exude confidence, completely dependent on our Lord? Do we immediately hand over our storm to him and wait patiently for him to calm and bring peace into our circumstances? Or, like the disciples, do we exhibit fear, frantically working in our own strength to resolve the crisis? Does fear and panic blind our eyes of faith? From this narrative, let me leave you with three directives that I believe can help each one of us when we do find ourselves in our personal storms, in our times of testing. The first is rest with Jesus. When we encounter a storm or a challenge, difficulty, a time of testing, there is a physiological reaction that occurs in response. You may be familiar with the terms fight, flight, or freeze. Depending on our personality, we will either do everything to find a resolution quickly, or we will run away, deny that a storm even exists, or we will freeze, numbed by the circumstances. From our text, it would seem that the disciples went into a fight mode. They ran around feverishly, trying to find a resolution to the storm. And similarly, we can do the same, trying to gain control of our storm. We exhaust every possible resource and ourselves in an attempt to calm the waters. However, from what we see of Jesus, what should we do when the winds blow fierce? We should rest with Jesus. Promises found in God's word give us assurance that we are never alone. We sang and talked about that this morning. He is with us. Remember, God is Emmanuel, God with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He holds us by our right hand. He is with us no matter our circumstances. When the storms smash upon our lives, God's promises should always be held close to our hearts. And realize that he does promise to lead us to the opposite side. Instead of falling into the trap of doing, going, or stopping, an indicator of us moving to the next level of maturity in Christ is to find rest in him. How do we do that then? What are some practical helps? Well, we can intentionally find a quiet place to read God's word, to listen to worship music, to focus our thoughts on him, go for a walk, or do whatever activity allows the peace and the presence of the Holy Spirit to wash over our body, soul, and spirit to bring that calmness. So, what do? In a test, we first rest with Jesus. Secondly, we ask Jesus. When the disciples finally figured out that they couldn't save themselves from their turbulence, they turned to the one who could. Jesus answered them when asked, and they were saved from the storm. How much do we mirror the actions of the disciples? How often do we wait until we hit the proverbial storm wall, and only then call out to Jesus? Jesus desires that we wouldn't wait until the obstacles or troubles appear on our doorstep. Jesus, more than anything, desires that we would have a close relationship with him 24/7. His word reminds us that his love and care for us is deep and goes beyond anything that we can comprehend. He wants more than anything for us to talk to him daily, to ask him to have his input in all aspects of our lives. Jesus desires more than anything that we would turn our independence into interdependence upon him. However, in a society that says, be strong, be your own person, including God in every aspect of our lives, and asking him for help can be extremely difficult. Jesus' teaching on the vine in John chapter 15 reminds us that we have a support system through him. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. As followers of Christ, then, we have an incredible privilege of communion with our Lord through the avenue of prayer, an indicator then of us moving to the next level in our maturity in Christ is to establish the discipline of daily prayer, of a vibrant connection with our Creator Redeemer. How tragic to think that a follower of Christ will only call out to God in those moments of pressure and distress. Our Heavenly Father wants more than anything that we would lean on him as a young child would lean on an earthly parent. Jesus wants us to ask him, to seek his word, and to find his help to life's challenges. It was Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 who said, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Our Heavenly Father desires to give us good gifts, to be there for us. He wants to walk with us and meet our daily needs and bring us through the situations of life that come before us. But he wants us to ask him to work through all those things so that good will come. Finally, in our storms, we need to trust Jesus. It's worthy to note that Jesus did not criticize the sailing skills of the disciples, nor did he coach them on how to bail water. He did not expect them to do anything in the middle of the storm but to trust him. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples earlier in the evening? Let us go over to the other side. Let us go over to the other side. Jesus in his divinity knew that the storm was coming. He knew that the crew would safely make it to the other side. The Creator of all was in the boat. The disciples may have heard the words of Jesus, but they were not living in the truth of his words. The disciples' response during the storm exposed their lack of faith in Jesus, the God-man. We mistakenly conclude that the opposite of faith is doubt. Rather, the opposite of faith is fear. The test given by the great teacher revealed the disciples placing fear over faith, and as such, exposing their need for still further growth and maturity in their relationship with him. Those who desire to be followers of Christ must recognize that faith is foundational in God. Faith is a trusting relationship with God. Admittedly, trust is not easy. When disappointed by people repeatedly, we can shut down the trust portion in our hearts. Yet it is only when we trust someone that we have faith in them. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 6 reminds us that without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. An indicator of us moving to the next level of maturity in Christ is a deepening of our faith in him. Faith holds many complexities in the life of a believer, and too many for us to expand on this morning. However, from our text, the purpose of the storm was to test the disciples' depth of faith. There are many individuals that we can cite who have also had their faith tested. Remember Moses, Abraham, Job, David, Elijah. These and many others experienced crisis moments and in faith stepped out and trusted God. Their choice to follow the path of trust is the reason today that we can call them heroes of faith. None of us enjoy the periods of testing, but James reminds us in James chapter 1, verse 2, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." While preparing this sermon, I have reflected on the storms and testing points in my life. In many of them, I failed miserably. I recall several years ago that I had been informed that my job was being eliminated. I responded in sheer fear. On another occasion, when a friendship went sour and became extremely painful, I called out to God saying, "Where are you? Do you care? Look at the mess I'm in. This is too hard to walk." More than once, I tried in my own strength to calm the waters, to do my thing, to say, "I can figure this out," but I failed flat on my face. Slowly, over the years, I have learned to move aside, to allow God to work through my circumstances. As I have endeavored to realign my trust, I have been fully amazed at God's incredible goodness, the miracles he has worked on my behalf, to recognize his faithfulness to me. By no means have I got this all figured out. I'm learning and growing as I continue on my journey with God. But I desire to echo the words of Isaiah, who wrote in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation." I trust that you can say that this morning as well. Friends, when life's storms come, each one of us have a choice. We can be like the disciples, use all of our physical, mental, and emotional resources, and find our hearts swamped with fear. Or we can choose faith and rest with Jesus, ask him and trust him to calm the rough waters and watch the miracles he will perform to help us land safely on the opposite side. May we remain open to continue to grow in our relationship with God, demonstrating to a world that still needs to know Jesus that in a great storm, we can know a great calm because of our great Savior. Friends, there is so much that we need to learn and rely and grow still in God. And I just pray that as believers this morning that you will continue your growth pattern with him. And may I pray with you as we bring a conclusion to our service. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word and for this opportunity to come together to praise and worship you. Lord, I pray as believers this morning that you would help us to not just hear your words, but that we would apply your words into our lives. Lord, when those seasons of fear come across our path, Lord, may we not respond in fear in those circumstances, but Holy Spirit, help us to find those places of calmness in your spirit. Flood us, Holy Spirit, with your peace, that we will know that as we trust in you, Lord Jesus, that you will see us through any circumstance that comes our way. Thank you, God, for what you have done, for your faithfulness, for your goodness to us. May we continue to reach out and grow in you. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.